Hello and welcome back to Laughing Through the Pain, Navigating Wellness with me, Richard L. Blake, my co-host, Andy E. Sam. And today we have Jeffrey Dietrich with us. So welcome, Jeffrey. How's it going?
Thank you, guys. Pleasure to be here. Doing well. I have a cup of coffee in front of me, so no complaints.
Excellent. How are you doing, Andy? How's things?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Yeah, I'm waiting for the sunshine in the UK any day now, I'm told.
Any day now, yes, indeed, indeed. Well, we won't tell you how good the weather is over here in California. Jeffrey's not far from us, listener. He's over in San Francisco. We're in Walnut Creek. We didn't realize we were so close, but we are. So Jeffrey, can you tell us a little bit about your background? I know you've got a PhD from Berkeley, got a bit of an kind of engineering background. So how did that go from PhD at Berkeley to what we have now, a new kind of coffee?
Yeah, so it's ever circuitous route to get there. But probably a good place to start is, like most scientists and engineers, I drink a lot of coffee. Started drinking in undergrad. And I've been a coffee drinker most of my life. We'll get into it. There's a few times I tried to quit entirely. That's very challenging. But coffee wasn't really where I got started in my career. It was actually in bioengineering and specifically focused on engineering different types of cells to produce new small molecules and different enzymes to produce new small molecules. So I started off doing my PhD at UC Berkeley, actually working on new synthesis routes for antimalarial compounds, transitioned into biofuels, so very different than pharma. And at that time, I was actually researching a class of enzymes called P450s, which are responsible for metabolizing many of the compounds and things that we consume. And that was going to come back years later, be the, in some ways, origin of how we started to think about coffee and a new caffeine replacement, which is the focus of Rare Bird.
And can you tell us a bit about Rare Bird Coffee, Jeffrey? What is it? Is it a coffee producer? Is it a series of coffee shops? I've not really heard of it.
Yeah, so I would say we are a coffee company. So everything we sell today is direct to consumer. There's a few restaurants, a few cafes where we're starting to have our product show up. But for the most part, you can find us online and online only. What we do is pretty unique. We are a coffee company like any others, with the exception that our coffee doesn't contain caffeine, and it's not decaf coffee. So our coffee actually contains a caffeine replacement. It's called PX, which is short for paraxanthine. No one's ever heard of paraxanthine, right? But anyone who's ever, a cup of coffee, yeah, right? But everyone knows it way better than they think they do, because 80% of the caffeine that we consume is going to be converted to paraxanthine or PX by the enzymes in our liver, going back to that PhD research, right? And what makes PX very interesting is that it's going to have a stimulatory quality just like caffeine. It's going to wake you up. It's going to make you alert. But it has kind of two key differences. The first is that it's metabolized faster than caffeine, so it's cleared out of the body faster. That means that you can drink PX coffee later in the afternoon or evening, and it's going to have less of an effect on your sleep quality as compared to a traditional caffeinated coffee. The second benefit is that, unlike caffeine, PX for the vast majority of people is not going to trigger the body's fight and flight response or stress response, right? That's that jittery, wired, over-caffeinated feeling that probably every one of us who's ever had coffee will experience at some point in their lives. So that's kind of in a nutshell. Otherwise, it's coffee, right? Mm. You brew it the same, tastes the same, aroma's the same, the exact same kind of ritual romance of a regular coffee.
Mm. And I can attest to that. I'm a subscriber of Rare Bird coffee. It does taste just as good as regular coffee. And that's exactly why I asked Jeffrey to come on here. I was like, this stuff is awesome. I have a podcast, so I'm going to ask him some questions and learn more about this type of stuff. So I reached out to Jeffrey and said, hey, can we jump on a podcast so I can learn more and share this with my audience? Because I really do feel like more people deserve to know about this, not just because we want Jeffrey to sell more coffee, but because I feel like people need this coffee. I really do like it that much.
Well, so it leads me to think, what's wrong with regular coffee then? You mentioned fight or flight, and I think we've all experienced the jitters, but what's actually going on there, and what are the kind of health effects?
Yeah, so I think the best place to start is really thinking about where caffeine came from and how it evolved, right? So caffeine is produced by a bunch of different plants, coffee, tea, guarana being like the three big ones that people think about. and it's actually evolved as an insecticide. So the plant is making it to dissuade insects from eating the leaves, the berries, etc. And it's essentially disrupting the central nervous system of the plant. Right? So there's no reason to believe that this compound that nature evolved to have this protective effect, essentially mess with insects, is going to be the ideal, right, morning beverage for people. It just so happens it works, and we just suffer through a lot of the downsides, right? And the reason that caffeine has this effect on most people, at least to if you drink enough coffee, the jittery, the wired feeling, is because you're essentially triggering the body's fight and flight response. It's a magnifier of stress. I think the best way to think about it is what caffeine does is it actually blocks the binding of a compound neurotransmitter called adenosine to receptors in the brain. And adenosine is the compound along with melatonin that controls kind of your sleep-wake cycles. So what caffeine is basically doing is saying, okay, hey, do not be sleepy. Like, you need to be awake, right? And that's a response that is very similar, right, to when you're being, you know, chased by a bear or a lion 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, that fight and flight response, right? So your body's basically going into this state of extreme stress. And obviously, we no longer exist in a world where we're being chased by wild animals. We're in front of our computers, but it doesn't mean that some deadline that we're procrastinating on isn't equally as stressful, right?
Yeah. And so how did you personally note that caffeine wasn't working for you anymore, and what could others look out for?
Yeah. So I would say early on, like during my undergraduate experience, my graduate experience, which were somewhat stressful, but really not that stressful, I didn't have any issues, right? I could drink 2-3 cups of coffee, be fine. It was really after that when I started my first startup company, which was a high stress environment. I almost immediately noticed, like, okay, this isn't working anymore. I can maybe have a cup of coffee, but more than that, like, it's a downhill battle and it goes quick, right? So that's in part because of genetics. Right? So some people are slow metabolizers of caffeine, some people are fast metabolizers of caffeine, and that's going to, in part, dictate how responsive you are to the compound and what effect it has. But additionally, there's genetic variations in these adenosine receptors within our brain. That also affects, right, how we experience caffeine or experience PX for that matter. Right? And it just so happens to be, I probably have that combination of genetics. It's like, okay, you're okay, but no more than 1 or 2 cups if you're stressed. Right? So I actually tried to quit coffee a couple times. I did it with a reasonable degree of success. Right, you could wean yourself off caffeine. It takes about a week or two. But as soon as, like, I had some early morning meeting, like 6, 7 a.m., and you're like, okay, I really need a cup of coffee, like, from, you're just back on it, right? So it's a very difficult product, drug, essentially, to quit.
Yeah, and plus the headaches. I get the terrible headaches whenever I try and come off caffeine, and then I give up immediately and just go have a coffee.
Which essentially, that's a withdrawal symptom you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's brutal. So, yeah, you mentioned fast and slow metabolizers of caffeine. If someone has the DNA for, I've got my DNA test and it shows I'm like a fast metabolizer of caffeine. Does that mean I'm going to be a fast metabolizer of paraxanthine as well?
Generally speaking, it's probably going to correlate well. We have not done those specific research studies, but it basically means your body's probably producing a lot of these P450 enzymes that metabolize the things that you consume. So it's going to be a pretty strong correlation where you're also going to be a fast PX metabolizer.
Okay.
What else is paraxanthine in? Just thinking when else anyone might have consumed it.
So up until about 2021, there were no products that had PX on the market, right? So in some ways, it was a new ingredient, even though it's inside all of us by virtue of our caffeine consumption. But you would never have found it in a coffee or energy drink. And in large part, it's because it was a very difficult compound to produce. You actually don't find it in nature in plants other than trace quantities. You can't isolate it. And so that means you have to synthesize it, either using chemical synthesis or biosynthesis, which is my background. And you could buy it, right, in small quantities, but it's extremely expensive. Like the first cup of PX coffee that we produced probably cost, it was probably a $500 cup of coffee, like roughly. Right? And it's like, oh, you never want to run that experiment more than once.
No. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think there is another company called Update who do energy drinks, which I like. But for me, I just like coffee. I need my coffee in the morning. So that's why I prefer the Rare Bird stuff.
What sits behind that desire for coffee in the morning, first thing in the morning? Is it because we are just still so sleepy and we just want that jolt awake? Or is it an addiction, or is it a bit of both?
It's an addiction for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think we should acknowledge that for all of us, right, there is, you can call it dependency, you can call it addiction, right? Like essentially your brain and your body has adapted to drinking caffeine. So when you don't have it, you go into withdrawal, right? And that's part of the negative experience that you have that morning when you skip coffee. But as well, like your body has changed the number of neurotransmitters present. And so it's almost expecting, right, that caffeine. And so it's basically bringing you back up to your normal baseline with that first cup of coffee, but it's doing it very quickly, right? Within 20 minutes, there's a tremendous increase in caffeine concentration within the bloodstream. That's why it happens like so fast and you're awake almost immediately.
Mm. Do you develop a tolerance to paraxanthine in the same way as you would with regular caffeine?
Well, we have not done specific research studies. I can say with almost certainty that caffeine and PX are going to behave similar in that regard.
Okay. And is there a maximum amount of paraxanthine coffees one should limit themselves to in a day?
So per the FDA rules and regulations, so PX is a generally recognized as safe or GRAS ingredient, but the maximum recommended consumption is about 300 milligrams per day, right? So that's, it could be up to 5 cups of coffee, depending on how strong you make your coffee or how weak you make your coffee. There's obviously some variation there. That compares to caffeine, where there's a recommendation of 400 milligrams per day. Although most coffee companies like Starbucks, et cetera, like the caffeine content is quite high. So you can get well over that if you get a large coffee. So that's not per se enforced.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never felt the sort of the anxiety as much as I have from a nitro cold brew from Starbucks. Brew coffee at home, I can have 4 of those and feel fine throughout the day, but one Starbucks and I'm like scratching.
They are ultra caffeinated. I don't know exactly how much they have in it, but it's a lot.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So what are the Rare Bird products then, Jeffrey? What do you sell?
Yeah, yeah. So the vision for Rare Bird, I'll start there, is we would like people to walk into any coffee shop in the U.S. and see PX coffee up there on the menu board, right? It's not there today. That's the grand vision. It's going to take some time to get there because obviously no one even is aware of PX today. But to get there, we're really looking to make a PX coffee that fits all the different coffee use cases, right? So we have a ground coffee today. We recently launched a really nice ready-to-drink coffee. It's not a cold brew, but it's a cold coffee. We are looking at doing an espresso K-cup pods later this year because a lot of people, you know, they just make single cups at home or in the office. But basically, we want to have PX coffee as an option in all the different ways that people consume coffee today.
Hmm. I think I saw you maybe at the moment it's a ground coffee. Are you thinking about doing a whole bean?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some prototypes of that are done. They're just not ready for prime time yet or commercialization, but we're absolutely working on that because that's really the ideal, right? You just have beans and people can make an espresso grind, a traditional coffee grind, you know, whatever you want with those.
Mm. Is the reason there's no whole beans because you have to grind the beans up and then insert the paraxanthine in? How does that work?
It's really more of an aesthetic bar. Like we have a very high bar we want to hit where we don't want to change anything about the experience of you know, making or brewing coffee. And when you do the infusion of PX into the beans, it leaves a little bit of a change in color, like a little mottled. And for many people, like they don't care. But we said, hey, like if we're going to do this, like we want to make it look identical to a traditional coffee.
Mm, yeah, that sounds fair. The half-life of paraxanthine, because sleep is a big thing. That's a sort of big selling point. What's the half-life of PX?
So it's about 20 to 25% shorter on average than caffeine. right? So it's shaving off usually a couple hours from the amount of time that after you drink a caffeinated coffee or PX coffee between when you may want to fall asleep, right? And that's going to change in terms of absolute time, again, dependent upon if you are a slow caffeine and PX metabolizer or a fast caffeine and PX metabolizer.
Okay. So my regular rule is no coffee after midday. So I could maybe go no coffee after 1 p.m. if I'm drinking.
Yeah, you can probably extend it like an hour or two into the afternoon. I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Okay, that's good. That's a relief.
When you're going to bed if you're stopping at 12?
I go to bed about 9, 10 p.m. Yeah, pretty early. I think one of the reasons for that is being on the West Coast and having friends and work in the UK. You've got to be up early to do podcasts sometimes.
For example, Jeffrey, can you tell me, without giving away too many secrets, how the process is different to regular coffee? You mentioned injecting paraxanthine, but other than that.
Yeah, so I think the best way to think about it is we start off with a green coffee bean, so it's unroasted. It then goes through a decaffeination process, which basically is pulling the caffeine out of the bean. Right? We have a grant from the National Science Foundation developing a biotech approach to convert that caffeine in the PX. Right? So it's a single step manufacturing approach, essentially mimicking what the body already does. And then you take that PX, you put it back into the coffee bean. Right? At a high level, like that's the grand vision, very simple.
So it's not you in a lab getting a bean and a syringe one by one.
No, absolutely not.
No.
I probably would have done that during my PhD days. You do a lot of tedious things like that during grad school. But no, we are fully commercial scale.
Okay.
It's amazing to go for the coffee market, and I admire you for it, because I think, like I was reading earlier, I think it's somewhere between 70 and 80% of UK households have two cups of coffee per head per day. So how do you think that's going to go with the messaging, trying to get that many people towards a different kind of product?
Yeah, I think that's the advantage of this type of product, right, is that it is very well understood. That people know what coffee is, right? And the vast majority of us know what the downsides of caffeine and coffee are because we've experienced them. We also know when we have to stop drinking coffee during the day to be able to fall asleep at night, right? So in that regard, I think it's actually a big advantage. I think the question is, at the end of the day, what percentage of coffee drinkers are going to experience PX coffee better than a regular caffeinated coffee? Right? Because we should acknowledge there's people out there who can drink 5, 6, 7, 8 cups of coffee, caffeinated coffee, and they have no issues, right? So this is probably not going to be the product for them. But about half of coffee drinkers, they have some level of caffeine sensitivity where they would probably want to drink more coffee, or they don't drink coffee at all, regular coffee at all, where they're going to see a pretty big benefit. And I think universally, right, everyone wants better sleep quality. No one wants to feel stressed, anxious, etc. So I think the messaging is really not about, is this per se better than caffeine for everyone? But rather, hey, like if you experience regular coffee in a negative way, try this out. And even if you don't, you're going to get some benefits from being able to drink this coffee in the afternoon.
Yeah. And I think some people still think the jury's out on coffee in general. Some people think coffee is bad for you. No one should drink coffee. But I think certainly in the biohackers space, given that the two biggest biohackers, Ben Greenfield and Dave Asprey, have their own brands of coffee, it's very much agreed that coffee is generally good for people's life. And it is a life extending thing. It's a mood boosting thing. I know that in history, they talk about Voltaire. Apparently Voltaire used to drink 200 cups of coffee per day. And he lived to a ripe old age. So yeah, certainly I think coffee is a good thing for most people, but paraxanthine can make that good even better, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think, yeah, I would say the net benefit of coffee is definitely there, and caffeine is definitely there from a physical as well as mental health, cognitive health perspective. The downsides really are on the impact on sleep quality. And then the world is just becoming a more stressful, anxious place. Right? And caffeine is just magnifying that. So we're really seeking to kind of address those two big points, better sleep at night and feel better during the day.
Yeah. And I have noticed that with the paraxanthine, my biggest challenge for sleep is sleep efficiency. I fall asleep fairly well, but I struggle to stay asleep. And I had a 5% boost in my sleep efficiency when I drink paraxanthine. So yeah, I can definitely attest to that. And when my sister-in-law was over here, she's quite like a high energy person, and she says normally she can't drink coffee, but we gave her some paraxanthine, and she said she absolutely loved it. No jitters, like good mood, clean energy throughout the day. And she said normally, you know, she'd have coffee once a month. She was having paraxanthine rare bird every day while she was here. So there's two positive reviews.
Excellent to hear. I love hearing it. That's what we want to do, right? We want to bring a little bit of joy and a little bit more mental wellness to everyone's day.
Amazing. You mentioned the first prototype was $500 a cup. Is the ambition to compete on a price point, or is it just an acknowledgement that this is a different product?
Yeah, I think the long-term vision is to have PX Coffee be identical in price right to a traditional coffee. And obviously there's a big range there in terms of like the quality of coffee beans you're using and other aspects. But to a first approximation, right, we want it to come down in price over time. But right now, it is certainly more of a premium product, but we want to make it accessible to everyone because everyone deserves to have a better day.
Absolutely. And are you doing anything with adaptogens? I thought I saw something with adaptogens.
We played around at first with a few different things when we were doing the launch, in part because we were very supply chain constrained. We just could not make enough coffee to begin with, a PX coffee. But we quickly, I think, decided that was more of a distraction. They were working. I was like, we're a PX coffee company. Just keep the story very simple, very straight and narrow.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, yeah, adaptogens, listener, things like Lion's Mane and things like that, that people are throwing in coffee. But I did see a study recently that Lion's Mane had no benefit for cognitive performance. So maybe you dodged a bullet there, Jeffrey, by keeping it out. Another thing, news flash that came up today is, have you heard, Jeffrey, that you shouldn't drink coffee for the first hour or two in the morning because your adenosine system is not online and you should just have LMNT salt? You heard that one?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I think that this idea has been, I think, percolating for probably more than a decade. The timing of that first consumption. Yeah, exactly. You always weave in some coffee puns here and there. Yeah. This is, I think, a concept that was kind of well recognized for quite some time, but it's just now reaching the mainstream. And it really does come back to the role that adenosine plays within the body's sleep and wake cycle, and how caffeine really interferes with that. And so by waiting an hour, you're essentially giving your body some time to go through the natural waking process before you give it that big jolt of caffeine that just almost like electrifies your body to wake you up.
Well, you'll be happy to hear that apparently that's just been debunked by a study. They did a study on people exercising. I'm trying to find it right now. Max Lugavere posted it, but it basically said that there's no scientifically valid reason to delay caffeine intake upon wakening. So yeah, they did their deep dive, but I think they were looking at people's sleep and then their exercise performance and then crashes. And they found no difference in people who were drinking coffee first thing in the morning and people who were drinking it 2 hours. So they can drink rare bird even earlier in the day now.
Great thing. You don't have to change your behavior at all. But yeah, definitely interested in reading that study. I had not been familiar with those conclusions.
Yes. Dr. Darren et al. Yeah, just come out, a hot off the press reader. I will have to change my behavior because I have been delaying coffee for 1 to 2 hours, but now I can just crack open a cold can at the side of my bed and drink it in bed. But I'm not going to do that.
Selfish, are you UK global, or are you focusing just on the US market for the time being?
Focusing on the US market for the time being, I think we've got more than enough to chew right now, right? The coffee market is tremendous, 250 million coffee drinkers in the US. So we're going to be focused there for the near term. Obviously, coffee is a global beverage. There's also other places caffeine is found, like teas, energy drinks, right? The scope of where PX can go in the long term is big, but you got to start small.
Yeah. Well, whichever one of you comes over the pond next, bring me some if you'd be so kind.
Yeah. I can definitely do that.
Nice. And maybe if there's any of our listeners, some of our listeners have keto shops and online shops in the UK. Maybe they want to start distributing to the UK and Europe. But yeah, we'll reach out to Jeffrey for that. Don't speak to me about that. But yeah, one question we have is Rare Bird. Where did the name come from?
Yeah. The origin is kind of convoluted, but it really comes down to be a rare bird is to be unique, right? To stand out. And it was very hand in hand with some of the brand and company values around bucking the trend, standing out, improving mental wellness, just living your best life, right? And making sure that each day is like the best version of yourself. And so there's this natural kind of overlap between those concepts and the word Rare Bird.
Okay, nice.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah. You mentioned percolation. Do you have an opinion on what's the best way to brew coffee, or specifically paraxanthine?
So in terms of, so PX behaves very similar to caffeine, so it's going to work, right, whatever brewing method you're trying to use. I think beyond that, it's really whatever your preference is. Like, I wouldn't say, like, I think there's people out there that say, okay, like a drip coffee is going to be a better quality coffee than, say, a French press. But my opinion is drink what you like, right? Like, make it how you like to make it, strong, weak, whatever. Who am I to tell you, you know, how to brew a cup?
Yeah, I have opinions on that in terms of plastics. I feel like plastics, from a health perspective, are the biggest problem. I just listened to that Chris Williamson episode with a doctor who's researching plastics and things like that, and how plastics are in, you know, everywhere from the bottom of the ocean to in our blood, and the higher concentration of plastics, the more hormonal disruption children had, the more incidence of heart disease and cancer and things like that. So I'm getting very concerned about plastic. So I like to use the Chemex because it's filtered through paper and then it's glass. I used to use the AeroPress. I loved the AeroPress, but it is plastic. And yeah, then there are.
Is there more of an effect with heat as well?
I guess so. Well. With the heat, it's also going to be maybe potentially leaching those phthalates into the coffee. And then there's a lot of very nice coffee makers out there, Keurigs and Nespressos, but I think they have a lot of plastic. So I do really worry about that kind of thing. So what's the other? The French press can be good because they're glass, as long as there's no plastic there. Mm-hmm. And then what's the one, the Spanish family? A percolator, where you put it on the hob and it heats that way. They're normally metal, so I think they're a pretty good option as well. Mm-hmm.
And is there anything to this? I hear that you shouldn't basically scald the coffee bean, or you shouldn't put it under direct, like, boiling hot water. Is that, have you heard that?
Yeah, the ideal temperature for extracting all the flavor compounds, PX or caffeine, from the bean is something like 95 degrees Celsius. So it's quite hot. 100 degrees Celsius is boiling. When you get above that, you are going to start seeing more degradation of a lot of the things that you want, right, to be present in the coffee, whether from a, you know, phytochemical perspective, an antioxidant perspective, or just a taste and aroma perspective. The higher the temperature, the faster, right, those reactions and those decompositions are going to occur.
I have always been advised that you should drip a little bit of water on the beans and not saturate it, but just drip a little bit whilst it's not too hot. Wait a minute once it comes off the boil, and so the aromas can diffuse or something like that. Is there any truth to that?
I do know that the gold standard is to, like, do it in phases in terms of the extraction. You think about from a chemical engineering perspective. I am not sure on the exact rationale behind that. I'll have to look into it.
Okay. I can't tell you how much I was wishing you'd say that was absolute nonsense.
Speed up the process.
What I will say is that coffee extraction is probably the most researched, like, chemistry or chemical engineering reaction or phenomena anywhere, right? Like, there are tons of articles written about it, everything from water quality to water temperature, extraction time. Like, it is thoroughly well researched, shockingly so.
Have you got any, would there be any ambition then, Jeffrey, to look at caffeine in other products and swap it for paraxanthine? Or are you, coffee is obviously an enormous project.
But it's like the most drunk drink in the world. Yeah. So it's a big market. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just thinking, like, technically the same principle could be applied to other things.
Yeah. No? So Rare Bird is focused on coffee, right? And we're focused on coffee only today. PX can go anywhere caffeine is found. So you can imagine a future in which you have, you know, PX tea, PX energy drinks, PX sodas, etc. Why we started with coffee is not only from a market perspective, but because in my opinion, the benefits of PX versus caffeine are best aligned with the coffee consumer. Right? Energy drink consumers, it's a little bit different goal and, you know, feel than what you're trying to get from a cup of coffee.
And do you do Swiss water extraction for the decaf coffee? Is that how you get it?
The decaf is a EA decaf, which is a sugarcane-based solvent, naturally produced. And that we use that process in part because it retains the best flavors of the coffee. Because there are a bunch of decaffeination processes out there that can make some bad coffee, which is why decaf coffee has a little bit of a negative reputation, which is carryover from like the 80s and 90s. But isn't, so that's one reason, is the quality of the coffee. And the second is we wanted to make sure that we use a natural occurring extractant. Obviously, water does that as well. But because of the taste benefits of EA, we go that route.
Nice.
You mentioned the FDA who control product development. I'm assuming the paraxanthine, all the research is pointing to it being a very safe chemical.
Yeah, so the FDA outlines the process to introduce a new food ingredient onto the market. And it's a little bit ironic. It's a little bit odd, right, that this compound that's within all of us has to go through that process. But you definitely want to make sure you check all the boxes and you're really understanding the safety profile. Mm-hmm. So the FDA outlines here, here's a set of studies that you need to complete to demonstrate safety. So we did those. There's another third party that's done those as well. And in every study that we've run or others have run, PX outperforms caffeine in terms of human health and safety across a bunch of different parameters. So it's still obviously early days, but I think that the data is increasingly pointing that caffeine is less safe than PX.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How do you drink your coffee? Do you add any butter to your coffee, collagen, anything like that, creamer, anything from a health perspective?
I just add milk. I drink it. It's very simple. Right? I'll make an espresso shot or I'll just do like a standard drip coffee. Like that's the way I drink it. But again, my background is a scientist and engineer. I am not a super taster by any means.
Fair enough. Mine's quite complicated. I'll go through it now. Step one.
Yeah.
Collagen. I put 2 scoops of collagen, so about 20 grams of collagen.
What's collagen do for you?
So collagen is a type of protein. It's an amino acid structure. It makes up a lot of our sort of like tendons and connective tissues. And supposedly it's very good for beauty. And for a long time, people were like, oh, it just gets broken down in the stomach. How does it go to your skin? But then they did recently, I posted on my Instagram story, show that people who were taking coffee did have better skin, better hydration and things like that. So it is good for anti-aging. Step two, C60, Buckminster fullerene. That's probably something most people haven't heard of. So Buckminster fullerene or C60 is a really potent antioxidant. It's one of the most potent ones out there. It's quite expensive though. That's the one thing. But that's put into a carrier oil of MCT oil. So it's medium chain triglyceride oil. So medium chain triglycerides, a type of fat that the brain loves. It's brain fuel. It's a fat that gets more like a carbohydrate. So it's good for the brain. Then I have a little bit of creamer. Yeah, just regular cream. This is something Andy and I, when he was over here visiting, he was like, why don't we put cream in coffee in England? It's so good. I think more people should drink cream in coffee because it definitely does taste good. Then I put in a scoop of creatine. Creatine, mm-hmm. That's the most researched performance aid ergogenic out there. That's good for people with Alzheimer's. It's good for people's brains. And it's very famous for being good for athletics. Arsene Wenger was derided when he brought it into the Premier League in the 90s. But now every professional soccer player is taking creatine. And then I do take LMNT. So LMNT is a type of electrolyte. It's very high in salt and sodium. And if you want to learn a lot more about that, listen to our episode with Dorian. But they have this chocolate caramel flavor that goes really well in coffee. So I'm making it into a healthy mocha type thing. So that's my process.
Blimey.
Interesting. And do you mix it in the brewed coffee or do you put it into the ground coffee and let it extract as the coffee is being brewed?
Ooh, I didn't know that was an option. I just put it straight into the cup and then, whilst I'm waiting for the coffee to be brewed, the cup gets all that other stuff.
So I can't help try it. Try it in the brewing process.
So what? I put all that stuff in my Chemex along with the ground beans.
Yep. Mix it up. Make sure it's thoroughly mixed. And the reason why is because, again, that water coming in is going to be about 95 degrees Celsius. It is going to speed up the dissolution process of many of the things that you are using, with the exception of MCT, which is going to be poorly water soluble. And you're going to find likely that it's going to just increase the solubility, make for a kind of better experience than that final cup.
Okay.
You're going to lose a little bit because there's going to be some residual water that stays in the grounds.
Yeah.
But the vast majority is going to come through into the cup.
What about the collagen? Do you think that would go through or that should go straight into the cup?
I'd have to, it all really depends on the water solubility. I'm not familiar with the solubility of collagen.
Mm. It's quite clumpy. I have to use like an electric whisk to get it to mix in. So it might not be the best thing to put into the beans.
The other interesting thing that you're doing is essentially you're piggybacking a lot of these additional health supplements on your coffee routine. I think it's a really interesting concept because coffee is something that people want to do every day, right? We don't change that behavior. You can use it as a tool to start taking the things that don't give you like that immediate acute benefit, but give you the long-term benefits from a health perspective that you're looking for.
Mm. Yeah. The bulletproof coffee, that is, I would say, what really kick-started the biohacking movement or space. And that was just adding butter and MCT oil to coffee. And the idea there was like, one, you're getting supposedly healthy fats, but when you mix or blend that fat, it really slows down the absorption of the caffeine. So avoid some of those crashes and things like that. But with paraxanthin, don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, I'm glad that Jeffrey doesn't think his wonderful coffee is being ruined by your concoction in the morning.
Again, make it however you want to make it. As long as you enjoy it.
He's going to ban me. We're not selling any more to him.
I would tell you about my coffee routine, but it's a whole other episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go on. What is it? Go to
even more elaborate?
I put an espresso pod in the machine.
Oh, God.
Put my cup underneath.
And just black. Just black.
Yeah, nothing all added. That changes when push Jeffrey play. Brings my rare bird over. So
excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeffrey. How do we find you and how do we find Rare Bird?
Yeah, you can find Rare Bird on our website, rarebird.coffee. Rare Bird's all one word. It's also available on Amazon. You know, those are the two routes to get it today. But check your local coffee shop because you never know. We're just going to start showing up in a few places this year.
Okay. And you're on Instagram as well, right, Rare Bird?
Yep. Instagram at Drink Rare Bird. Twitter as well. LinkedIn. All same handle.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been so good to speak to you, Jeffrey. Thanks so much. I've learned a lot and I wish you all the very best because it sounds like you're onto something big here.
We think we are. It's a pleasure to join you guys. It was a fun conversation and I love talking about coffee. So I look forward to next time.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Jeffrey. Andy, thank you, listener. Remember to like and subscribe and write us a review and find us at The Breath Geek on Instagram and at Andy Sam on Instagram. And I'm richardlblake.com as well. We look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Thanks for listening. Bye.